You know, it gives me real joy to come to you today, and I sincerely hope that you folk are enjoying the studies in the Gospel through Luke as I am. Now, I know I have taught the Word of God for a number of years, but you know, it's an amazing thing how each book, in some way or another, always brings something precious and special to your heart. I was asked the other day by some Christian friends, what book in the Bible I like best? And I said to them, well, the book that I'm teaching, whatever book I'm teaching, they're all wonderful. If I were teaching John, I would revel in John. If I'm teaching Matthew, I'm reveling in Matthew. Now I'm in Luke, I'm reveling in Luke. Or whether it be Romans or Ephesians or Revelation or Hebrews, makes no difference. Or Genesis or Exodus or Deuteronomy or the prophets, whatever it may be. The amazing thing is that the Spirit of God will take His Word and make it very precious and very real to your heart. The question is my heart open to receive what He has to say? Is my mind open to understand what He has to say? I'm reminded of the last chapter of Luke's Gospel, where you remember the Lord opened to them the Scriptures, and then I read He opened up to them, He opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. You see, friend, the Lord is always ready to open His Word to your heart, to your mind, and to my heart, to my mind. The Lord is more desirous of you knowing Him and of knowing the truth than you are to know the truth. You see, I've got to bring this before people continually. It's not that we are waiting for God to move. God has already moved. The Lord has already made provision. The Lord's arms are still outstretched to receive anyone who will come. And as you read the Word of God, you take these stories we're going through, these little incidents in the life of our Savior. For example, the one we had last, the blind man on his road to Jericho, the city of the curse. Now he's going to leave Jericho, and we find a different sort of a man. And you notice how Luke does this. This is Luke. He deals with life. He deals with people. He deals with families. He deals with homes. He deals with you. He deals with me. You take chapter 18. Here was the judge and the widow. Here's the Pharisee and the publican. Here's the rich ruler. And here we have where he deals now with a blind beggar and meets his need. Now, when you come to chapter 19, we have a very different sort of a man. Let me read the story. Now, remember, he has just healed this blind man as he comes to Jericho. And beside the crowd following Jesus is the blind man whose eyes are now opened. The first person he saw when his eyes were opened was a Savior. And he immediately followed the Lord, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise. Now, verse chapter 19. And just rule out the chapter division. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He was another rich fellow. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not because of the crowd. And again, he was a little fellow, little of stature. And he ran before the crowd and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, that is, when these old Pharisees and these religionists saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, this is a story which most people who read their Bibles know something about. Now, as I say, on his way to Jericho, he heals a blind man. Now he's going to save a publican, one of the despised, you see. I would put Zacchaeus, for example, in the case of a man who was a real, real sinner, despised by his people. For those of you who do not know, a publican is one who was a tax gatherer for Rome. Rome had these Jews who would tax the people, and they would give so much to Rome. The trouble was, sometimes they doubled the tax or tripled the tax. And the result was they became racketeers, to be frank with you. They just became racketeers. And this man was the chief of the publicans. He was a chief one. One of the despised. He was living in the city of the curse. My, what a picture of every unsaved person. You know, Isaiah chapter 1:18, I just love that verse because it speaks of the fact that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like the driven snow. Oh, what God will not do with a man or a woman, I don't care what their background is, to just put their trust in the Savior. Now, this man was one of the despised ones. That's getting very clear in our mind. And he was living in the city of the curse. But he's a man who had a big bump of curiosity. Here's this big crowd coming into Jericho. Here's a man shouting the glories of God whose eyes have just been opened. Zacchaeus heard it. What did he do? No use him going into the crowd. He couldn't see Jesus. He was a wee fellow. So he ran ahead of the crowd, down the road, climbed up in a sycamore tree to see Jesus. His very curiosity brought him in touch with Jesus. And he's going to let nothing hinder him seeing Jesus. You know, he could have said, well, you know, when Jesus was in Jericho, I just didn't get a chance to see him because there was a big crowd there. And you know, I'm a small fellow, a little wee fellow, and I just couldn't see Jesus. I'm sorry I didn't see him because I'm so small. Oh, how often people will alibi, rationalize their unbelief. Friend, are you hungry enough to see Jesus? Sinful friend, sinner friend, are you hungry enough to be delivered from your sin? Jesus can save you from your sin. And here's this little fellow who was a racketeer, and he climbed up into the sycamore tree to see Jesus, his curiosity. Maybe sometime you might go to a gospel meeting out of curiosity. Well, you go ahead and satisfy your curiosity. You go. And I pray God that the man who speaks will present to you in a very clear way the wonderful story of redeeming grace. Now notice something. Jesus sought him, found him, and saved him. Jesus said to him, now notice, it was Jesus who made the move. Verse 5, Zacchaeus, you can just see this whole crowd stop by the sycamore tree. And the Lord looked up into the tree, and here was a man sitting on the branch looking down at him. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. I want to come down to your house, have a little fellowship with you. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. I kind of like this, you know, I kind of like this. See? I think of that song. Maybe you know it. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. He sought me, he found me, he saved me. I tell you, friend, it's a wonderful thing. Jesus is always ready to meet the need of any hungry heart. He met the need of the blind man at the end of chapter 18. He's going to meet the need of this man whose heart is yearning for something that's different to what his life has been. Chief of the publicans, chief of the racketeers. And Jesus said to him, come on, Zacchaeus, come on down. I want to go to your house for a while. And I read that Zacchaeus received him joyfully. By the way, how did you receive the Lord? You know, sometimes when I preach the gospel or I deal with somebody and I ask them to accept the Savior, sometimes with a great big long face, they say, yes, I'm going to take Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, but you wonder if it's real. This man received him joyfully, joyfully. I remember one time dealing with a dear little woman, a young lady, in fact, who was a very efficient stenographer and secretary. She'd come to one of the meetings. She came because she wanted to go with a certain young man, and he said, if you go with me, you got to come to a gospel meeting. And she came to our night meeting, She sat near the front. That's where he always sat. And she came two Sundays running. Then one Saturday morning she called me up and said, "May I speak with you?" And I said, "Sure." So we met, and I explained to her the gospel. She said to me, "You know, Mr. Mitchell, I've been in your meeting the last 2 weeks." I said, "I know." And I mentioned the name of the fellow she came with. She said, "I was bored to death. Bored to death. Just putting up with it. But this week, I can't sleep at night. I keep thinking of some of the things you've said about the Savior and about my need of a Savior." And she said, "Sir, I want to take Jesus Christ as Savior." And we rejoiced together. And the tears were running down her cheeks, and she said to me when we got off our knees after accepting the Savior, she said, "Don't feel badly about this." She said, "I'm crying because the marvel of it is I'll never again see my sins. He's forgiven me every sin. Mr. Mitchell, I'm a child of God." And the thing overwhelmed her. I think this is true of Zacchaeus. "Zacchaeus, I want to come and stay in your house. Not in the house of a Pharisee or a rich ruler. I want to come into your house." And he received him joyfully. Ah, friend, how did you receive him? He received him joyfully. May God grant that be true of you and me. Now, here's a changed man. Listen to what he said. "He made haste and received him joyfully. And when they saw it," the Jews round there, I suppose the Pharisees and the other folk, all of them, "they murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that's a sinner." Now, this may have come from the crowd. You see, Jesus was going down the road and the crowd was following him. And when he stopped by the tree, the whole crowd was there watching. And up in that tree was one of the despised ones. And Jesus said to this despised Zacchaeus, "Come on down, Zacchaeus, I'm going to go to your house today." That made them kind of mad, you know. They said, "What in the world is he doing?" They murmured, "He's gone to be the guest with a man that's a sinner." Isn't it wonderful? This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." I'm going to misquote the next verse. Now remember, I'm misquoting the next verse. Jesus said to him, "This day is salvation come to this house," because he's going to return half the goods that he's taken from people, and he's going to return fourfold those that he's taken by false accusation. Oh, no, no. Restitution did not make him a Christian. Now, I'm not opposed to restitution, don't misunderstand me. But Jesus said, "This day is salvation come to this house," because he's a son of Abraham. And remember, Abraham is given to us as the father of those who believe. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, "Those who are of faith are the children of Abraham." And this man is a child of Abraham. Why? Because he's putting his trust in God, in his son, Jesus Christ. This day, not because he's going to give half of his goods and give to the poor. But I say, what a transformation from a greedy man to a generous man. May I repeat it? From a greedy man to a man full of generosity. This racketeer, this publican, transformed by meeting Jesus. Now, in the preceding chapter, the rich ruler left Jesus because of his greed. We've had that all the way through Luke's gospel. You've taken money from widows and so on. You've robbed the poor to increase your treasury. Greed was their sin. Riches was their god. Here's a man who didn't care what people thought of him. As long as he got his money, he was sold out of money, greedy for money. Now, transformed. "Lord, I'll give half my goods and give to the poor. And I've taken anything from anybody by false accusation, I'll return him fourfold." By the way, that's far more than the law demanded. According to the law of Moses, if you had taken something from a fellow, you not only restored what you took from him, but you must also increase it by 25% or one-fifth more. One-fourth or one-fifth more. But this fellow said, "I'll restore him fourfold." Boy, what a transformation. From a sinner into a saint. from being a greedy man into a generous man, from being an outcast into a saint of God. What's made the difference? Jesus. What's the difference between a saved man and an unsaved man? Jesus Christ, God's Son. This is the difference, friend. The difference between life and death. The difference between light and darkness. Jesus, the Son of God, the light of the world. Now notice verse 10, this amazing verse. He goes on to say, for as much as he's a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Aren't you glad he came? Listen, you remember Paul could say to his son Timothy in the faith in 1 Timothy 1:15, in verses 13 and 14, he talked about the fact that one time he was a blasphemer. A blasphemer. But he said, the Lord had mercy on me. For it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come looking for good people. He didn't come looking for religious people. He came looking for sinners. Our friend, until you take your place as a sinner, you won't have any need of the Savior. If somebody had asked me before I was a Christian, Mitchell, you're a sinner, and I've told him mind his own business. If he told me I was a lost sinner, I would have said I was as good as he. But once I got a glimpse of the Savior, our friend, what a change. Then I got a true perspective of myself. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Allow me to quote from 1 John 4:9 and 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Then he repeats it in verse 10. He sent his Son to be the redeeming sacrifice for our sins. He sent his Son. As it says in Hebrews 9:26, he appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin, but the sacrifice of himself. In 1 John 3:5, I read, you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Or if you take Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, you remember, he took his place in the human race, he became a real man in the midst of men. What for? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and deliver us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. Oh, friend, what a Savior. No wonder he was called the friend of publicans and sinners. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Aren't you glad he came? Friend, aren't you glad the Lord Jesus Christ came? He came because he loved you. He came because he loved me. I again repeat it. It's not a marvelous thing that men should love the Lord. The marvelous thing is that God should love us. See? As St. Francis of Assisi used to say, God looked for a man who was weak, who was wretched, who was little, who was no good. I'll take that man and I'll use him for my glory. Ah, friend, God is looking for sinners to save. As someone has well said, he's not looking for good people to commend. He is looking for sinners to save. And I close with that today. Look at that 10th verse. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. I repeat it, he's not looking for good religious people to commend. He's looking for sinners to save. And we've been following this through in chapter 18 and now in chapter 19. As our Lord is going to the cross, he's on his way to the cross. No wonder he meets these people. No wonder he finds publicans and blind people and people in need. The rich turn from him. The religious turn from him. The sinners, the publicans, the blind look to him, and he meets every one of their need. And he can meet your need. Oh, friend, again let me repeat his gracious words. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you accept the Savior. And by the way, will you do this? If you've accepted the Savior through these little Bible talks, won't you drop me a card? Just drop me a card. And just tell me that you've taken Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And oh, Christian friend, won't you fall in love with the Savior and tell others about him, that they too might know him whom to know is life eternal. And the Lord bless you today for his precious name's sake.